on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another exciting week in Coyote Athletics. This one, perhaps one of the more exciting weeks we've ever had, because women's basketball is on to the Sweet 16. They'll play on Saturday. If they're fortunate enough to win that, obviously it would be on to the Elite Eight on Monday, which would be tremendous as well. And it's just been fun to watch this team. I know these players and this coaching staff has meant so much to the women's basketball program and really the University of South Dakota as a whole. Just what they've accomplished in their time, not just this year, but in their time. Think about it, 4 straight NCAA tournament appearances, 3 straight Summit League tournament titles. Obviously, things have been really, really good. And now a chance to go to the Sweet 16, which has not happened in the Summit League since South Dakota State did it. It's just the second time ever that it's happened, but South Dakota State did it a few years ago when they went out to Syracuse, New York, and they were able to get by Quinnipiac and Syracuse on their way to the Sweet 16. And their run ended there in the Sweet 16. Now the Coyotes try to go one step further. Regardless, getting to the Sweet 16 is impressive, and it is something that these players are going to, you know, this is going to be a year that obviously they remember for a long, long time. And this is kind of like, this is very different, but I'll equate it a little bit to the year that the women's basketball team won the WNIT. And you know, fans were riding high during that whole thing. And then the next year, you're like, wow, where can we go from here? You know, kind of thing. And I feel like that's where we're at now. You're at the Sweet 16, and it's hard to get to the Sweet 16 as a mid-major program. So what these young ladies are accomplishing right now, appreciate it. Appreciate it as much as you possibly can, because who knows if you'll ever get this opportunity again. And I know fans understand that, because over 2,000 fans have purchased tickets through USD, and they're on their way to Wichita, Kansas. It's going to be a great USD crowd in attendance. And hopefully that's the energy the team needs on Saturday to find a way to beat the Michigan Wolverines. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, it's not an easy game. It's going to be a big, big challenge. But, this team's playing well right now. They've not trailed in the NCAA tournament. That is unbelievable when you think about that. Not trailed for a second in the NCAA tournament. It's absolutely amazing. And they're probably going to trail at some point this weekend, because at some point when you're the 10 seed, you know, you just, that just doesn't happen, right? Like, that doesn't happen that you go through 2 games, let alone 3 games, without trailing at all. Now, I hope it happens. Don't get me wrong. I hope it happens. But the reality is that, the Yotes are really going to have to dig in this one. So, we'll see what happens. It should be a fun weekend. Also, over the last week, obviously, the announcement of new head men's basketball coach, Eric Peterson. We'll talk about that coming up in the podcast as well with David Herbster. But coming up in this show, it will be fun. It's a really, really fun conversation with Hannah Shervin. Just talking simply about the experience. Great long conversation with Hannah about how the team experienced last weekend in Waco, how they're trying to get refocused for this weekend in Wichita. And great conversation with her coming up in the show today. We'll start it as we always do with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, what a special time right now in the athletics department and the women's basketball program. Obviously, I know a lot of the headlines with women's basketball right now, and rightfully so. They made history this weekend, not once, but twice, winning a first game and then making it to the Sweet 16. And I think we all knew how special this team could be with Coach Don Plitzewhite and her staff. But to see them go to the Sweet 16, what was your reaction like watching this unfold as you were in Waco?
You know, getting down there, and I went down on Friday for the game, flew down Friday, came back on Friday. But, you know, going into that, and you know, not really sure what to expect out of Ole Miss. But you know, watching warmups, just watching them kind of both teams kind of do their pregame, I really felt like our ladies were more locked in, a little bit more of a purpose. And maybe I can say that after the fact. I mean, we could have been as locked in and still lost too. But I really thought that you know, their goal was like, let's win one game. Let's win a game. And those, you know, and that group was pretty tight-knit, and they, you know, I think that was really a part of their focus, because don't worry about winning two or three games, because that doesn't matter if you don't win one game. But that was pretty special to see them win the first game. I think winning that first game gave them a ton of confidence. And, you know, after that, you know, especially really against, I thought, against Ole Miss, it got very physical. And what I appreciated about our ladies was that, A, they never backed down. They never retaliated, and they kept swinging. And you know what? The longer they did that, the little more success that they had. You're making shots. They go on a run. We go on a run. We yep. stop it. We started to break their spirit. And I think, and it happened. I think really, even though it's fairly, you know, close at halftime, we had broken them. I mean, I think that's the boxer that sits down in the ring after about the fifth inning and says to himself, "What did I just get myself into?" And you know, you have to pick up and go another five rounds with you know, the opponent in front of you. Our ladies just didn't give up, and so that's their spirit, that's their focus, their determination, and that's why they're fun to watch.
Yeah, it's been just crazy to like see them win the first game, and then to get the opportunity to play Baylor on their home floor, and they muscle out another one. Mm-hmm. I mean, to go in to play a team that's got some incredible players, that's a very good team, players who might be in the WNBA, and to see our team go out there and come out swinging the way that they did and get off to a fast start, I mean, it says a lot about, I think, this team's confidence that not only do they belong, but they don't plan on being done anytime soon.
Right. And that's a dangerous thing that someone can go to battle with, and that's a belief, a conviction, and this team has that. And I think, you know, we opened up that game 11-0. Now you got them on the ropes, and you finish the quarter, you're up 16-4. You held Baylor to 4 points. This was a national champion in 2019. And I know that's 3 years ago, but it doesn't matter. They're still a national champion. You can see the banners.
Yeah.
The national title banners around that arena, the Final Four appearances. So there's, you know, and them not having lost on their home court to a non-conference opponent since 2014, that's a long time.
Yep.
That's a really long time. But I think giving them the confidence that they had as they went into it, I think now once you have that little bit of belief in you, it's shots start falling. You don't start second guessing yourself. You know, they make a mistake on one end, but they don't relive that on the other end. Mm-hmm. You know, just back and forth, and just really went at it. So, you know, the good thing is you learned a lot those two games. Now you got to take that in to play Michigan, and the challenge there is that, well, you're not going to surprise Michigan because they got all week to read about you. Mm-hmm. And so now it's you go right back to it, and I think you'd see this group with the same type of work ethic, the same type of determination, and you know, you go into that matchup, and at this point they know anything can happen. It doesn't matter your seed, it doesn't matter what state you're from or how many WNBA picks. You still got to go in there, you know, like we talked about last week. All you want to do is step in the ring, touch gloves, and let the bell ring, and let's start swinging and yep. see what happens.
Yeah, and you know what's really crazy? Not just the wins and making history, but this team has not trailed for a second of the NCAA tournament. And some people say, well, other teams have done that. I can't imagine too many lower seeds have never trailed for a second in two games in the tournament. This is pretty impressive.
That's a really good point, John. And I didn't realize that until probably reading the post-game release and realizing that we hadn't literally trailed. I mean, you scored the first points in both games, three-pointers at that, by Hannah, and you had never trailed. And you're right. I think while that's really, really impressive, it's more impressive, like you said, when you're a lower seed to do that. I'm sure in some of their runs, maybe UConn or Baylor, maybe they never trailed for any of their title runs. But as a lower seed against the higher seeds like we did, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What has been your kind of conversations with Coach Don Plitzwhite as this team continues to, you know, hit those milestones and make this success that we've never seen here before?
You know, we really haven't talked about the milestones. I don't want to, you know, and maybe that's the old jock in me, I don't want to jinx a streak or a run, sure. right? So let's just not talk about it. But I mean, there are other things that we talk around it. And again, I mean, we both acknowledge, you know, how special this is. And, you know, both after the Ole Miss game and after the Baylor game, of being able just to go up to her and get a hug and just real briefly have that conversation. It's just how special this is. And I think you have to appreciate that, because really it doesn't truly soak in until a little bit afterwards. So right now we're just, you know, we had a conversation earlier today laughing about, you know, our hotel placement and, you know, just little other things as we get ready to go to Wichita that, you know, I think in a Michigan news outlet, not a affiliate, but probably M Live or whatever it was, they talked about how University of Michigan, number 3 Michigan, whatever it is, playing number 10 North Dakota State. I mean, I honestly told her, I said, do people still think we're just the Dakotas and there's not a North or a South? I mean, if you're actually, and don't take this the wrong way because I know you're in the business, but if you're a news outlet, don't you think you'd actually do a little bit of research and confirm what it is that you're reporting on? It's bad enough when even ESPN would confuse South Dakota and South Dakota State or put the wrong logos right. up. But now you're actually confusing states. But that shows you probably the lack of respect that you get not only as a lower seed, but what others would feel, not and a mid-major at that, and just a kind of an ignorance toward the Dakotas or towards this region of the country.
I don't even think there's much research involved. There's 16 teams left. Can't be that hard, right?
Right. And at what point in time did North ever enter into the discussion?
Right.
And do not put state on the after our name either.
Obviously, they're interested in that proposal a few years ago. What was it, like Megacota? Like,
yeah,
we should
exactly.
just combine just, North and South
yeah,
Dakota
just,
and
yeah.
just make it one.
Border? What border? We don't need a border. Come on.
We don't need a border.
You know, and I would tell you this, and again, you know, going to school out in you know, both high school and college in Virginia, there is really, I always call it a coastal ignorance, because they have absolutely no idea what happens in the middle of the country. Just like if you're here, you have no idea that really the difference of North Carolina and South Carolina. It's just the Carolinas, and I would say they're no different. They just call yep. us the Dakotas, and please don't give
well,
us that. We could go on for a while on that one.
What's crazy about this run is, you know, it wasn't that long ago that you were bringing in a women's basketball coach from Northern Kentucky that many people raised their eyebrows at, saying, who is this? Well, they know her now, don't they?
Oh, exactly. You know, and, you know, as you say, and Don will say this too, you got to trust the process. And, you know, as we've been able to build here, and again, that success is building the success, that belief, that credibility, not only from those that are on the team, but from a recruiting standpoint, and certainly our fan base.
Yep.
It's you know, when you're as a head coach and you're recruiting talent, you're recruiting your team, sometimes you have to recruit the players that are currently on your team, mm-hmm. But you're also recruiting a base. And and what she's been able to do, I think, really epitomizes the culture of the athletic department here, because it is about team. It is about team above self. It is about playing for each other. It's about selflessness. It's about doing the right thing when you don't think anybody's looking. And doing it the right way. That's kind of what this, how I've tried to look at this department, how I've tried to hire coaches, and the things that we talk about and we try to instill in our student athletes. Because if you when you can put all that together, you can have a run to the Sweet 16. You can win a silver medal in the Olympics. You can have the play of the year. You can have some of these successes when that's the culture that permeates, and not just from one program, but throughout, and it's a top-down.
And the culture spills over to the fan base. How about seeing those fans travel to Waco and hopefully a lot in Wichita? It's a nice little drive down to Wichita, yeah. Kansas, but it's been fun to see that fan base continue to grow.
It has, you know, and it's, you know, it shows you the appreciation for the sport, the team, and the ladies, but it's also kind of that uprising of pride with the university as well. And that's, you know, it's sometimes it does take teams like this or runs like this to kind of bring everybody back together. And what better way to do it after coming out of COVID than to be able to have this to celebrate and to be able to do it together with a team like this to bring everybody back together and unite us again.
Yeah, hopefully they can keep it rolling. Obviously, you know, it wasn't long ago. It was a new era in women's basketball. There's a new era in men's basketball. New coach you hired a week ago, mm-hmm. Introduced officially, all of that. Eric Peterson, he's been in for about a week. How has that transition process process gone for him through all this excitement of women's basketball, and he's trying to get locked in and figure things out right here in Vermillion.
Yeah, and he couldn't be any more excited for Don and the team, really. As he's coming aboard, I'm really, really excited to have him. We kind of let him slip away the first time when Craig and staff left for Utah State. Bringing him back, he brings a certainly more experience. I think a great deal of maturity. I think he's still got a strong recruiting ties to this area. He's definitely a family person, a culture person on this team. And he's really dug in deep, not only in having conversations and long conversations with every single player on the team. Now, we've had some hit the portal, and that would be, that's always expected, but I think some of those we're going to leave regardless. But I think there's some that have recently hit the portal that very well might not stay there and come back. But he's working his tail off right now and just trying to, not only from the current program, from the current players, but also between trying to evaluate that and look what we have, look what our coaching staff. We've been talking about scheduling. Oh, by the way, he's got to find a house. I think we got a house. So I got to do – he's going to go back home for the Final Four, back to Salt Lake, and then he's going to drive back after that. And then I got to do this in the meantime. So he's really running in circles. But that's what happens when you start on board. We've talked about it before. When people come on for the first time, you're drinking water out of a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that a little bit right now, but he's got such a level head about it, and someone who's extremely approachable, that I think in short order, don't be surprised when you see this team cutting down nets.
You mentioned the word scheduling, and I think that's interesting during a coaching change. Do you have to get involved with basketball scheduling when there's a coaching change to try to make sure? I know some agreements are probably in place. Maybe they're not all signed yet, but I know that the previous staff had conversations with other schools trying to line up a schedule. Do you get involved in any of that, or is that just up to the new staff as they continue to get going?
No, I'll jump on board with that one. It's because we got to look at those that we have currently scheduled, those that are contracted, those that we might have verbal agreements but not an executed contract, and we have some others that are just in conversations, and we have to determine are those still going to go through. And so really quickly, that's probably a fourth or fifth priority right now. But in short order, we're going to have to try to take care of that. As we're down, you have the Final Four coming up, and then really you'd like to have that done by spring, to have that thing settled. Doing this long enough, basketball coaches, especially men's basketball coaches, are notorious for dragging their feet on scheduling. It's absolutely mind-numbing. It really is. I'm just like, I want to beat my head up against a wall sometimes when I'm like, guys, just make a decision. They're going to be very particular about it and looking, who do you have coming back? Who's on your roster? Right now, no one's going to sign with us right now until they know who's on a roster. And I'm just like, let's roll the ball out and play.
Yeah.
But that part is what it is. I would imagine we'll probably tackle that here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And obviously he's getting settled, so we'll look forward to welcoming his family when they get moved finally to Vermillion, because I know that obviously his family was, his wife was involved in the community when they were here before, and so an impact family, which will be fun to have.
Yeah, no, it's had the opportunity to, I flew out there on last week to bring the family back, bring Eric and the family back for the press conference. It's funny because I remember when they left, and I just kind of, flippantly told Eric, I'm not really going to miss you that much, but I'm going to miss the heck out of Flynn, and that's his daughter. I said, that's who I'm going to miss. And so I land on Tuesday. I get into the FBO, and the first thing I get is from Flynn. She's like, hey, Herbie, and comes up and gives me a hug. I'm like, oh, my God, you're pulling at my heartstrings here. But great family.
Yeah.
Great family. So look forward to getting them actually to Vermillion full-time, which will probably happen. They'll finish school out there, and then they'll get to Vermillion probably sometime in June.
A couple of exciting things happening right here on campus. I know that the softball team kind of went through a tough stretch last weekend against Kansas and Nebraska. Had a game this week postponed due to weather that was supposed to be at Creighton. Scheduled to be at home this weekend. Now the weather isn't going to be great, but it's softball in this time of year. I think it's supposed to be in the mid-50s, maybe like that. So they'll be fine with it, because as long as it's dry, they can play. But home opener against North Dakota State, who's a perennial power in the Summit League, and a great way to start the conference for the softball team.
Right. We're at least right now, it's supposed to be, I don't know if it's partly sunny or partly cloudy. I've never figured out which is which.
Always go with partly sunny.
Partly sunny.
More optimistic.
It sounds better, right? But it's going to be in the 50s, so at least we can get outside didn't play.
There you go.
You know, yeah, the last week or 10 days has been a tough stretch for us between games getting canceled because of weather. You know, we had some other COVID challenges and more weather, and I think it was snow in Memphis. It was we've hit the full gambit. So really looking forward to being home. The only thing that, and it's not a regret because we get to go to Wichita, but I haven't even seen our team play yet. I was really looking forward to seeing them play. But I'm also thinking to myself, boy, when you have to do the scheduling for the Summer League here, anytime you're putting any game up, you know, this far up, at this point in March, it's a 50-50 on whether or not you're ever going to play it. But we'll get the games in. I think it's a great opportunity to come out and see these ladies because they can really play.
No question. Earlier this week, really exciting, the London track meet was held with bringing in high school kids from all over. I think it's usually a two-day event.
Right.
But we haven't had that in a while with the dome renovation, the COVID year. I think it's been a while since that event's been here.
You're right. This is either 3 or 4 years it's been since we've been able to hold it. So the Dan Lennon is a two-day meet. Yesterday were the big classes of the high school classes, and today is the smaller class, or Tuesday is the smaller classes. But you're going to have 40 to 50 teams. I mean, it's not unusual for us to have over 2,000 athletes in here for this meet for these 2 days. It's just really good to get it back. I mean, I think I was talking to one of the coaches, and you know, to me, I look at this as an event that, you know, one of the things we take at the University of South Dakota, and certainly being the flagship of the state, but we also have to take very seriously what it is that we provide not only to the state and the region, and with a facility like this and what it can house, like the Dan Lennon indoor track meet for high schools. I mean, to me, I look at that as part of our obligation to the state to be able to make sure we run first-class events and provide opportunities. And so who knows, there's anybody that's out there that, you know, that's going to be a Coyote one of these days, or is going to end up going to college at USD, maybe not to run track, but just to come here. Or frankly, in some cases, just be able to go to college when you can actually be on a college campus like this. So both Lucky and I take very seriously the opportunity, and I think hosting it and providing that, for lack of a better word, service to the state and the region, that this is a must, and we'll get this back to the prominence that it used to be.
You know, at the end of this week, high school football coaches from all over, they'll be here for their annual meeting. I believe it's an annual meeting that they have, and kind of coincides with spring football. I know the Yotes are ready to get spring football underway.
Yeah, this is one, again, that's been ongoing for a while, too, in the works, but between construction and COVID, we've had to kind of push this off, but it's the South Dakota High School Football Coaches Association will have their clinic here starting Friday afternoon and pretty much all day Saturday. So the idea is, so if you think about what this week looks like for us, we've got the Dan Lennon, we had the Dan Lennon Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday night we start tearing down track, you know, the portable runways and things like that. Wednesday and Thursday it's cleaning up and laying down the turf so we can practice. And part of the idea too is in how we coordinate this with practice is to be able to run our practices and have all the high school coaches be a part and being able to watch our practices. So we'll be able to do that on both Friday and Saturday. So not only do we get a chance to host the High School Coaches Association Conference, but be able to have them watch a practice as well.
I know we're getting to the outdoor season for track, but how does now laying down the turf for spring football affect the track team and any of their preparations, especially when we have this weather we talked about, sometimes 50-50 on if you can go outside?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the struggle, and that's kind of the tug and pull that we have between track and football, because, you know, football would like to have it down sooner and track wants to keep it down later. So we kind of end up meeting in the middle and work to find kind of different ways to both are going to be inconvenienced. You try to reduce it as much as you can, but in our current setup, I feel good about the fact that we have an opportunity that, you know, we might have a 1 or 2 week lap lapping over between both seasons, but we really don't have a choice in how we do it. Now, I also realize that we've got an outdoor field, which on Tuesday would have been difficult to go out when it was snowing or sleeting or whatever it was on Tuesday. But that being said, there's certainly things that track can still do inside and things that they do outside, and the same with football. It's a balancing act where it's an annual thing that we try to figure out how we can best accommodate both.
David, really appreciate the time as always, and hopefully women's basketball continues to make their history. I know they're having a great season right now, and just always great to chat everything USD with you, so really appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster. Always appreciate his time and the conversation. We'll get back to some Ask the AD questions coming up next week. So if you have Ask the AD questions here over the next podcast continues for the next month, a little over a month. If you have those questions for David Herbster, certainly send those in. We'll get those into him and see what information he can share on some different things. There'll be some continued things coming up in the NCAA, and we've got spring football coming up, and conference realignment talks are always there. So how does that affect USD? Could it still? Some of that stuff we'll find out here over the next month or so. Hannah Shervin has been a impact player at the University of South Dakota, obviously. She's made a career. I remember a conversation when she came here not too long ago. We talked about her coming to USD from New Mexico, and she said she wasn't a very good basketball player. Well, I think we all believe she's a pretty good basketball player from what we've seen. And obviously, she is the all-time blocks leader at the University of South Dakota. She has more blocks than a preschool. And she just continues to move up the scoring charts and everything else. She's been a phenomenal player. And how about the first two games of the NCAA tournament? She hits the opening three, and the Coyotes don't lose. So hopefully she'll hit a three coming up this weekend, however many games they have, do it every time. And maybe that keeps on going. But really good stuff from Hannah Shervin. We had a chance this week to catch up and talk about the experience of the NCAA tournament and the opportunity now to play in the Sweet 16.
Hannah, I don't know if you ever really imagined it. I'm sure you dreamed of it at some point, but your team's headed to the Sweet 16. Just hearing that and thinking about that this week, how do you handle those thoughts? How do you try to, level the excitement a little bit?
I think it's okay to be excited for a little bit, you know. Putting it into perspective, like, there's 16 teams, that's it, in this, you know, pool that started of 64, and that's a big accomplishment for us. And I think then just to refocus in and make sure we're getting ready for Michigan. And I think our coaches do a good job of getting us there.
68 teams actually with the first four this year, right? It's been kind of crazy that with adding that and some of that. So you guys obviously have had a lot of success, and we're going to talk about that. How much have you been able to pay attention to the rest of the tournament and see how close, you know, there have been upsets in women's basketball, there have been near upsets in a lot of these rounds. How much have you been able to watch that? I would imagine less than you normally do since you're a little more involved, but how much do you pay attention to the tournament right now?
I think when we have time off, I love to watch. Like last night I was watching, Princeton versus
Indiana,
yep, and then the Michigan-Villanova game, obviously. But, you know, when we have stuff to prep, I haven't been able to watch as much, but it's still fun to see the reports back on the upsets this year have been really cool.
Hannah, you guys are one of those upsets, and let's talk about just leaving Vermilion and the journey that started, and for the first time, or second time in your career, but really the first time in a while, you've been able to exit with people cheering you on and going to a tournament where fans are allowed. I know you experienced that at Mississippi State, but how special was this, just knowing what you guys went through the last couple of years, extreme heartbreak a couple of years ago when you felt like you had a tremendous team that could make a run like you are right now, and then last year making it, which was cool, but not with the fans that you normally get, and it was just, everything was different. How special has this been?
It's been really special. I think last year we had a really tough draw with Oregon at the 6 and us at an 11, and we had a young team. A lot of our players hadn't had any experience in the tournament, and I think that this year that's been very helpful for us getting there and having girls that have been to a tournament before, and having it be even better this time. You know, the Coyote Nation showed out really strong for us down in Waco, and it was a lot of fun.
You try to make these games as normal as possible, and the reality is that the whole trip is different, right? You bring extra people on your trip. You go there an extra day early. You go through some press conferences you don't normally go through. How do you try to handle all of that and still keep your mind as focused as you need on the actual game and the game plan?
Yeah, that's something Coach P has kind of instilled in us for years. She's always said, you know, every game is important, but no game is special. And just reminding myself that, especially on the day of and, you know, during warm-up, this is just another game. It's 40 minutes, and I just need to play 40 minutes. We can do it. I think that's helped me a lot to stay present.
You get into that game against Ole Miss, and leading up to it, I'm sure that you have access to social media and you heard all the stuff that was being said prior to, and comments being made that South Dakota's not seen a team like Ole Miss and that South Dakota would be shocked. How much of that was internal motivation, or do you use some of that, or do you just go and do your game plan?
I think I try to stay off of social media. as much as it can be encouraging, there's also a lot of negativity out there, and I don't need any more of that. So I think we just try to, you know, focus in on what the coaches have to say, because that's all that truly matters, and go out there and play our game.
When you get into a game like that and you're playing Ole Miss and you're by seeding the underdog going into that game and you get off to a decent start, at what point do things maybe settle down? Do the nerves chill out a little bit? Because it is a different stage. It's a different setting. This is the NCAA tournament. At what point does it start to settle down and feel like, you know, a regular basketball game?
I think once you get going, and I do well while I'm on the court and being calm and collected, I think it's those times when I'm in foul trouble and I'm on the bench and I have no control where I feel a little more anxious about it. But definitely in the game, I feel a little more relaxed.
You guys go through that game against Ole Miss and you come out winners and you know you're extending your stay in Waco. What was that moment like for your team making history, winning in the tournament for the first time in program history?
I don't know if I can put that one to words yet. We've tried to a few times in interviews, but I think just looking around at the girls on the court and on the bench and our coaches and just seeing just the joy that we had done something that we'd been talking about for years and just feeling that joy.
It's a quick turnaround. You're going to play another team next. You find out it's going to be Baylor at the time. Obviously, you didn't know. Maybe there were some assumptions, but we talked about the upset, so you never know. But you find out you're going to play Baylor. What does now the turnaround process look like for your team as you try to get ready for Baylor during an off day and get ready to go?
I think the coaches probably have the hardest job during that part of it. They're clipping film. I don't know how much sleep they get during that time, but they really do everything that they can to prepare us. And then when it came time for us to prepare and watch that film, I think we did a good job of walking in. And, you know, we chose to walk through some stuff as a team, and I think that helped us get ready.
Hannah, people always ask about preparation, and you guys have that short turnaround. You go through a film session, they give you a game plan that's printed out. You guys try to sift through that and get as much of that to stick in your brain as possible. How hard is that to try to remember some of those important details that Coach P is going to have in a game plan that are going to be important to pull an upset like Baylor?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing for us was trying to shift our gears from Ole Miss to Baylor. We knew the personnel on Ole Miss pretty well. We had a week or so to prepare for them and to get to know them, and then we weren't looking past that because we never do with games. So to try to memorize the personnel, like who can shoot, who can drive, what kind of moves do they want to do, I think that was probably the hardest part of the preparation.
You get into that game against Baylor, and you know you're going to be matched up against a player who many have talked about as a top 10 pick in the WNBA draft, who's been a tremendous player in her career, and they've obviously had a lot of success in their own right. What's your mindset going into a game like that? Because this isn't your average Summit League opponent. That's not to knock the Summit League, because there's definitely really good players in the league, but it is different. How do you change your mindset, or do you need to try to defend the way that you have?
I think fortunately for us, we've had quite a few opponents that have some very highly ranked prospects. We played South Carolina and Texas A&M and Pitt this year, and in our past we've played other really competitive, strong players. And so I think my mindset over time has just evolved, whether we're playing a Summit League team or a Power 5 school, to prepare like everyone is the same with the same intensity.
In the games last weekend, anybody who watched, whether they were in person or saw it on TV, saw you getting bopped around like a rag doll in there, trying to hold your position and drawing a lot of fouls. How difficult is it to maybe not retaliate? Because you know always the second person gets caught. And it's also very frustrating to continue to get beat around on the inside like that.
It definitely is. I've always been a five or a center, so I'm always going to be having a physical game in there and just trying to keep my composure. You know, it was hard at Baylor for sure. I lost it at moments, but I think that's a growing point for me where I can improve on that for next game.
And a little bit, you got into some foul trouble in that game. We saw a little bit of foul trouble against Baylor for a couple of different players. When you're on the bench, you talked about being a little bit more nervous because you have no control, but how much does your mindset change to more of a coaching role, or what do you do to try to continue to get, whether it's Allison Poplawski or Janaya or whoever it may be in there, to play at their best?
Yeah, I think just watching them, trying to give them whatever pointers I can during timeouts. Pep and Janaya both are very receptive to any advice that I've given them. And they've both grown in their roles to where I do trust them a little bit more, even though I would prefer to be out on the court. I know that they can do good things for our team.
When the final horn sounded and you knew that you guys were on to the Sweet 16, how do you describe that moment? Because that's not just history. That's the second time of making history in the same weekend for this program and doing something that had clearly never been done before.
Yeah, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. That's a memory I'll have forever and I'll always think about, and I hope we can continue to make more of those so I can figure out what it truly means, because at this point I haven't.
How cool was it to get off of the bus in Waco after that game back at the hotel? And I saw videos. I mean, the hotel is lined with Coyote fans cheering. And describe that moment of walking into the hotel and like, oh my goodness, they're still here.
Yeah, so we actually took quite a while to get out of Baylor's gym, you know, with media. And after road wins, we get ice cream. So that took some time too. And so we figured we'd be getting back and everyone would kind of be getting ready to leave or go to bed. But it was, I mean, that's South Dakota for you. They stick around and they want to make you feel loved and supported, and we definitely did. They were all there for us when we got back, which, I don't know, just made it even that much more special.
You go from back to the hotel to back to Vermilion with the streets lined and people wearing red and to welcome you guys back. How cool was that?
Yeah, we kind of joked about this on our team. We're like, how many times do you think the city's going to keep showing up for us for these parades? Because they, at this point, they have to be getting tired of it, but they don't show that at all. I mean, I think each time we've had more people, it's cool even on the outskirts of town as you're coming in from the coffee cup, just people standing outside their houses. And, you know, they might be alone, but they're all decked out in Coyote gear, and it's just cool to see.
Well, I can assure you that they will not get tired of standing on the street waving to your bus. If you guys, as you guys continue to have this success, and you've talked about it before. I know Chloe, Liv, and really a lot of the players have talked about the fan support that you get in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. And I know you guys have your parents travel to games, and sometimes other fans are always at road games. But to see this following grow, what has that meant to you and this entire team?
I think that's part of the legacy thing that we talk about as seniors. You know, Mandy Copel and that era started it. You know, this legacy of being successful and trying to pass it on to the next group. And I think the fans are kind of starting to do that almost. They're bringing their kids into it, and you see generational families bringing their little kids to games. And I couldn't want anything more for USD.
Does it click for you when you sit around and you see these young girls who want to be a basketball player someday and they're looking up to you and you're having success on the floor and obviously having success in your personal life? Do you understand the role model aspect, and how much have you been able to just appreciate that?
I don't know. I looked up to a lot of college players growing up. I looked up to a lot of the Minnesota girls, and I hope I can fill that role in the right ways, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing all the right things along the way, keeping my composure on the court. And I mean, for me growing up, basketball wasn't always like, I didn't know that I was always going to play. I was on the B team. You know, wasn't always this very successful player. So I hope that they just know that no matter where they are in their basketball career, you know, it's possible to continue playing.
How much have you used that yourself as motivation? You know, you said not always been a good basketball player. I think you told me when you came here and transferred here, you didn't think you were a very good basketball player. It's turned out pretty good. How much has that motivation just driven you to work hard and continue to get better?
Yeah, I think I'm my own biggest critic, and I'm starting to see that more, which has helped me pick apart some of the things that I needed to improve on and get there. So I think it has its positives and negatives to being my own biggest critic.
You came here with uncertainties, I'm sure question marks, but you were closer to home. You're going to leave here whenever it is with as one of the historic team in Coyote women's basketball history, and individually holding records, the all-time blocks leader, and you've moved up in different stat categories. Have you processed that a little bit and just understood the impact that you've had for the program?
I haven't yet. I mean, like I mentioned, Manny Copel, we all think she's just so cool. She's held a lot of the records here, and she comes back all the time to kind of talk to us and help us. So I don't know. Hopefully I can do something as cool as she has and just continue that for our team.
Now the focus is squarely on Wichita. USD's only 400 miles away. Hopefully a big crowd will make their way to Wichita for the weekend. And obviously the opponent is Michigan. And it doesn't matter what seed number is going into these games. It doesn't get any easier as you continue to go through. How has the team's focus maybe shifted from celebration and we've done something really cool to it's time to get back to work. We got more to do.
I think that started, you know, maybe last night or today, you know, focusing on watching that game last night and then today just making sure we're ready to go for practice and that, you know, while our bodies might be sore, it's time to get refocused.
Well, you talked about the way you were getting beat up on there. Your body should be sore, but it's recovering. You know, you and Chloe and Liv decided to come back, and there's a lot made of the super seniors and the impact that you've had, obviously, on this season. I would imagine that when you guys made that decision, you started to dream of an NCAA tournament. And I don't know how far you dreamed, how many rounds it went, but now that you've experienced a couple of those and checked a couple of those boxes, does the real feeling match the dream, or how did those two things compare?
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of what we have dreamed of. I don't think we ever put a ceiling on how far we thought we would go, but I think now that we're doing it, we have higher expectations for ourselves than just a few tournament wins. I mean, we want to keep going. We're not satisfied with what we have.
You three get a lot of the headlines. There's obviously been incredible play out of other players on this bench, and it may be a few minutes. I think Chloe got into foul trouble against Baylor. Macy comes in, didn't play a lot, but hits a big-time three. How much do you guys continue to talk to some of those players that maybe aren't getting as much attention to assure them that you guys understand how important they are to this team?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Chloe does a really good job of that. She's going to be a coach, and whenever that happens for her, she's going to be a great coach. She knows how to talk to people and to make them feel valued, which is an incredible trait for a player on your team or a coach. And I do see them, you know, they believe her and they believe us. And I think that a lot of people are asking this question, well, what about next year already? And I don't think they have a lot to worry about. There's a lot of girls on the team that just don't get the opportunities yet, and they'll be ready when it comes for them. And you see that in Macy's shot or Kaya's drives or whatever it is. So,
you know, we talked about how this has gone for you and your dreams and versus reality and some of that. I can't imagine you ever dreamed of being like the poster face of a program, and the NCAA kind of did that this week. Your image of celebrating a shot has been all over the place. How surreal is that?
That's crazy. I actually didn't realize it was like actually ESPN's post until someone said that to me, and I don't know, that's surreal. I mean, it's an honor to represent South Dakota and our team specifically, because I think there's a lot of girls that do that well and maybe even better than I do. So it's an honor that they chose me.
Well, hopefully a lot of games left for your team. I know it's a big weekend in Wichita, and it'll be a lot of fun. And hopefully there's a big Coyote following there. I know you'll see them on another send-off, and there'll be a lot of excitement. But what would you say to the fans right now that you talked about it? They might be tired of coming out to the street and waving at the bus, or they continue to follow deep into, you know, March and getting towards April and continue to be a part of what this team's journey is. What's your message to them right now?
That they matter and they make a huge difference. And I know sometimes it's easy to feel like they're just part of a collective, but we see them each as individuals, and for the value that they each bring, whether that be the crowd they bring with them or just their energy and their loudness in themselves, they all make a difference. So I keep coming. We need them.
Hannah, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. I know it's been a historic run and a lot of milestones, but still a lot of goals left for your team. So good luck this weekend.
Thank you, John.
That's Hannah Sherman, one of the best to ever come through the University of South Dakota. She's continued to climb up the scoring charts. She has obviously been a very good player. She's the all-time blocks leader at USD, so great stuff from her and really fun conversation. I really enjoyed that this week talking about, you could just see, like, it's so hard to hear maybe sometimes. Sometimes you can hear the emotion, I think, in these conversations, but I have the opportunity when I do a lot of these conversations, I'm sitting right across from the person that we're talking to, and what I noticed, you know, this week is just the giddiness of Hannah Sherman and the excitement. You can see it. It's just pouring out, and I know her entire team shares that sentiment, and they're going to have a lot of fun this weekend. They'll be it'll be a lot of fun. We'll see how things go. Win, lose, whatever may happen, they are a team that is having some success, and it's a lot of fun to watch. So we'll keep an eye on how things go for the weekend. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. The Coyote track and field team, they're scattered all over the place. They've got athletes this weekend in Austin, Texas for the Clyde Littlefield, Texas Relays. You've got the track and field Wildcat Classic at Wayne, Nebraska, the Bobcat Invitational in San Marcos, Texas. So track athletes scattered all over the place, and they kind of sometimes they grab certain athletes and you go to one event, or maybe you got a better chance of the other event, whatever it may be. So they just kind of break that up. This weekend, it's the softball home opener. They'll take on North Dakota State, a doubleheader scheduled for Saturday, single game on Sunday. I know a lot of attention on the women's basketball team, but if you're not going to Wichita and you're still back in the Vermilion area, maybe stop by, catch a little Coyote softball starting at noon on Saturday. You'll be done in plenty of time to get where you need to go watch the Coyote women's basketball game, 5:30 at Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita, Kansas. They'll take on Michigan. Michigan, of course, is the 3 seed. Coyotes are the 10 seed going into that. The other two teams that they could play if they win, Tennessee and Louisville. And they'll play in the first semifinal game. I believe that's at 3 o'clock. And then the Coyotes play at 5:30. You can catch all the action on the Coyote Sports Network, KVHT, out of the Yankton Vermilion area with Carter Whedeal. He'll have all of it, and also I believe that game is on ESPN2. The entire women's tournament is on the ESPN family of networks, so check all of that out. However you choose to follow the Yotes, that would be fantastic. And, of course, softball back in action on Sunday. They'll play a single game against NDSU. Hopefully we'll see the women's basketball team back in action on Monday, but the women's golf team is in action on Monday and Tuesday in St. Charles, Missouri for the Diane Dougherty invite. So we'll continue to follow along that and see how things go for Coyote women's golf. And then Tuesday next week, softball scheduled to play at Drake in a doubleheader, and women's tennis is at Creighton in Omaha. So a lot of things coming up here over the next week or so in USD Athletics. A lot of excitement. I know a lot of attention is on women's basketball, and rightfully so, to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament for the first time, but certainly keep up with all things Coyotes. Go to goyotes.com for all of that information. All right, that's it for me. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and until next time, go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.